Hello, everyone, and welcome to Duluth Business Now, the official podcast of the Duluth Business Association. My name is Lisa Thompson, and I am the president of the DBA and the moderator of today's show. The Duluth Business Association, formerly known as the Duluth Merchants Association, is a local business networking group that has been in existence since the 80s. Our purpose is to provide a social and professional environment for businesses to talk to other businesses. Our mission is to connect our members with each other and the Duluth community. Although we are located in Duluth, Georgia, we also have members from nearby areas including Suwanee, Johns Creek, Sugar Hill, Lawrenceville, Norcross, and Alpharetta. We are excited to be here recording our brand new podcast series, Duluth Business Now, with Business Radio X. We are broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio inside the fabulous Gath South Convention Center. Duluth Business Now is member-sponsored by Crosspoint Realty, Knick Knack Products Group, Profound Wellness, Lily's Boutique, Rainbow Village, Home Access Mortgage, Gwentage Wine Bar, and Morsels Catering. The title of our show today is Networking, Follow-Up, and Building Relationships. Whenever we're in a networking meeting, we frequently hear the term building relationships, and today we're going to be taking a look at what that means and how to make that work in your business. Joining us today are Benjamin King from Pet Once, Johns Creek, Ken Thompson from Thompson Hypnotherapy, John Withers from How Money Works, and Katrina Luchisano with Silverton Mortgage. All of our panelists today are DBA members, and each one brings their unique experience and perspective to our discussion. Before we begin, I'd like each of you to briefly introduce yourselves and tell us your position and a brief description of the services you provide. Ken, we'll start with you.
My name is Ken Thompson. I'm a clinical and medical hypnotherapist. The name of my company is Thompson Hypnotherapy. And what I do is I enable my clients to be able to reduce the stress in their lives, the negative response to stress, by enabling them to be more calm and relaxed and more positive in the way they deal with things. And so as they move forward, they're learning how to do this for themselves, and it's all part of the hypnotherapy process.
Katrina.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. So I am Katrina Luchisano, and I'm with Silverton Mortgage. We are a local residential mortgage lender. Been in the business for 32 years, so I handle all mortgage needs, purchase, refinancing, any type of property, as long as it's residential. And again, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Benjamin.
Hi, Benjamin King. I'm with Pet Once at Johns Creek. We specialize in low-batch, small, slow-cooked, all-natural pet food, and we also offer all-natural treats and chews. We are here to be a resource for all pet owners.
Fantastic. John.
Good morning, Lisa. My name is John Withers. I am a licensed financial educator with a group called How Money Works. We are an organization of people in the finance industry, wealth advisors like myself, attorneys, accountants, and other ancillary people that have banded together to basically to eradicate financial illiteracy and teach people things about money that we all should have been taught in schools but weren't. And that's essentially it. As a secondary thing, we also offer a path to entrepreneurship through the financial industry.
Welcome, panelists, and thank you, Mike Salmon, for being our producer this morning. So one of the most basic forms of the in-person follow-up is the one-to-one conversation. So our last podcast, we focused on how to improve your skills and your results within the meeting itself, which whatever kind of networking meeting you're doing. And now this conversation is about what happens between that meeting, after the meeting, and the next meeting. So, Ken, can you start and maybe tell us what we might be able to do to make those one-on-one conversations after the meeting more effective?
Well, I think one of the things that we can do is make it focused on who we're speaking with, who we're talking with. Make sure that they're aware that it is our interest to learn more about them, to be able to refer to them, and to get more information from them on what they want and how they want to achieve it, and where they want to go with things. So the more we learn about them, the more comfortable they'll feel working with us as well.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
we're all being quiet today, you know, which is kind of unusual for this group. It's amazing.
We're just getting started.
I didn't want to overtalk John.
It's all good.
Just saying.
Go ahead, Katrina. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking for me, it's trying to deep dive into, like Ken said, what do you do and how can I be a resource to you? So to try to have that servitude type of attitude where if I help you, then of course you're going to want to work with me.
Yes.
So to let people see that from the beginning that, you know, I don't mind, you know, really whatever you need help with, let me try to understand that. And then there's those people, right, that just, they just want to give, oh, here's, you know, diary of the mouth of what they do, and they don't really have that interest in you. So those are the type two that I'm very careful to not spend too much time with because they're just not ready yet, I don't think, to receive that one-on-one.
So that's a good point that you made about someone, if you're in a conversation, you've asked someone to coffee and they've just, you know, 30 minutes has gone by and they're still talking. So, John, I know you had an interesting way. Like, I feel like I've had to learn how to interject things about my business just based on what they're saying. It's sort of an art. Sometimes you have to get creative about it. How do you handle that, John?
Well, it's one of the things about what I do in the finance industry is it's very relationship driven, and it takes time to establish that relationship. And initially in the conversation, one of the things that I do to kind of help me determine where I'm going to spend my time is to see how long it takes them to ask me what I do. And I have gone through 30-minute, 40-minute conversations and never once a question come to me. So I said, okay, well, I think, you know, it helps me prioritize, you know, where I want to work. And occasionally, depending on the situation, you know, I will, it's one of the things about dealing with money is it's easy to find a way to bring that in. And I can usually make some kind of a reference and see if that will actually spark anything. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But I think you get an idea of the experience of the person you're talking with in the networking world when you have conversations like that.
So tip number one for today, share the conversation. Do not, and I made these classic mistakes when I first opened my business. I would go into one of these meetings and I would talk nonstop until they left. And so I had to learn. And so we're just cutting to the chase here. So just share the conversation, even if you have more to say. And, you know, be purposeful about what you say. So is somebody going to remember 30 minutes of conversation? Any of you?
No.
No, not even 30 seconds.
Yeah. So whatever the bullet points are, that might be what you start with and just give them a nibble, right? I mean, the whole point here is to... this isn't the last time you're going to talk, right?
And one thing that I do when I start a meeting like that is I sit down and I tell them I appreciate them taking the time with me today so that I can learn more about them and their business and they can learn more about me and my business. So I kind of set the tone there to make it a two-way street, you know, at the beginning of the meeting so at least it's in their mind. And if they decide to ignore that, well, then we know.
Right. And for me, I mean, my perspective is a little different because I'm dealing with the four-legged ones. And so,
who can't talk.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You might have more talented conversations sometimes, you know, dealing with them.
This is true. Yeah. Unconditional love. But, you know, what I'm trying to figure out when we're talking is, you know, I'm learning a little about them. And then, of course, the name of my company gives it away. To where now they're asking what I do and what we provide. And then at that point, it's for me, it's just trying to figure out where they are in their journey of you know, with their pet.
Excellent. So are we looking for sales here when we have one-to-ones with people? What are some of the, I mean, I know we're looking for somebody who might be interested in our services, obviously. But what else might we uncover or be looking for when we sit down and talk with somebody? Like maybe where else they're networking? More opportunities to be visible?
Mm-hmm. That's one area that I just try to find out, again, in the process of finding out a little bit more about them and how they got involved in DBA, for example, you know, but how they were referred to them or and finding out. That usually leads to conversations about other networking groups or other organizations they belong to or just getting an idea of their experience level. You know, I think a lot of our members are pretty accomplished professionals. And you know, they all have interesting backgrounds, and because of that, they sometimes will talk about an audience that didn't even dawn on me that is somebody that definitely is worth my time, you know, trying to check out. So you just don't know what you don't know until you actually know it.
Excellent. Just from your experience, the four of you, how long should you be talking at one time so that it becomes more of a conversation and less of you talking at the other person or them talking at you? What would you say? Give it some guidelines to our listeners.
For me, it's really hard to say. For example, one of the things that I do is I try to ask a lot of questions to find out more about them. And sometimes when they're talking, I get really interested in what they're talking about, and I will continue to ask questions about it. Usually what I look at is just kind of watch their facial expression. If their facial expression starts to give me any indication, you know, that's like, okay, their eyes are glazing over or something like that, or I wish I was anybody would hear, says, you know, yeah, exactly. You
they're looking for the door.
Looking at their watch, you know. Benjamin's great at that. You know, he'll you know, if you spend too much time talking to Benjamin, he'll let you know, okay? So no, I'm teasing, of course, but I mean,
tick,
it's
tick,
a...
Tick, tick.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, I just got a call.
Yeah, exactly. So I hate to put a time limit on it because I wouldn't want somebody to think they got to look at their watch, but you know, if you're in a conversation, you can just kind of tell if you're talking too long or you're not talking enough.
And if you're asking questions, that's a back and forth.
Exactly.
And that's
yeah.
really what I'm exactly. I'm exactly. trying to get to is that you want a back and forth. And asking more questions is good. It's being curious, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you'd be amazed at, I mean, most people in business, I've found, are far more fascinating than in my social life. Business people just, they've just done more things, and they, you know, they've overcome things, and they're just more interesting. You know, like, how did you start doing this?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Lisa, too, for me, I feel like to truly listen, you know, when you ask that question, right, how many of us are, what's that next question? And so, like you say, being able to read that body language, and you'll find out very quickly if that person is somebody who is ready to engage with you I'm talking business, you know,
right.
to engage in business, to have that relationship and not just a transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to elaborate on that, Katrina, thank you for saying that. When you're having these conversations, you have to be genuine about it. Mm-hmm. You really have to be. If you're asking questions about them, it's because you're interested in getting the answer to the question,
yeah.
not that you're looking for the next thing that you can talk about. You know, and when I was getting started in the networking world, I came out of the military world. Our conversations were very clipped. They were very direct. And usually, you know, either didn't last too long or they lasted way too long, depending on who you were talking to. But in this kind of a situation, you really have to really just kind of relax and go with the flow. But it helps to be genuinely interested, because if that comes through, and if they realize that you're interested in them, that you're genuine, then there's much more of a chance that you'll be able to establish that connection or that start that relationship that you're looking for. I think we've all been talking to people that you can just tell that, you know, they're spending more of their time thinking about what they're going to say next. And I've been there. So I think it's just a natural evolution of the networking process.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a conference and heard a speaker say that, you know, there's two voices, the person that's speaking to you and the one in your head. Turn the one
yeah,
off
I
in
love
your
it.
Head.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love that. Are there other things besides finding out, you know, what their services are and what they're like? What about just finding out if they're having any challenges in their business or finding out what their next hurdle is? I mean, sometimes we might be able to offer them help or be able to point them in the direction for a fix or for at least some advice.
Yep. I know for me, like, I do so many different things from Gwinnett Chamber to four different associations, and then I do Rotary, and I do all of that so that for that person who, you know, maybe you're in the wrong room and maybe you need to be over in room A and you're in room B.
Right.
And it's wonderful to be able to share with somebody like, hey man, you know, I know somebody over here in this club or in this organization that this sounds like this would be a great fit. So now I'm a hero to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they want to work with me.
Yes. Yeah.
And who wouldn't want to work with me?
I know.
I mean, how do you feel when someone takes you aside and says, I want you to meet so-and-so, and this person
yes.
is actually either a partner or somebody who would be interested yep. in your mm-hmm. services? I mean, doesn't it make you feel good?
Yes.
Well, right?
There's an implied endorsement there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, if you're being introduced to someone, you know, you're able to at least initially tag on to the credibility of the person that introduced you to. And that is a step further in the conversation as opposed to just walking up and starting a cold conversation in a networking event.
And when you go on from that, if you talk or thinking about the relationship you're building, the only way you'll be able to be credible is if you get to know that other person mm-hmm. better and they get to know you better. And so to give credibility to that referral, it's important to have that one-to-one time learning about them and going deeper into what they want and what their needs are and what mm-hmm. they're missing.
So isn't the goal True. Kind of that you're going to, when the next time you see this person, it may not be at that same meeting that you met them. And that's the advantage of doing multiple meetings is mm-hmm. the cross-pollination. Mm-hmm. That's very powerful mm-hmm. when you see, not you don't want to see all the same people, mm-hmm. but you do want that confirmation,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll feel more confident with you. You'll be able to introduce them to more people. So that's what this process is all about. Building relationships is actually extending your network and making those threads stronger, mm-hmm. right? That's what we're wanting to accomplish. So one final thing, when you're talking with people, do you have any favorite questions that you like to ask when you're talking with them, either at the meeting or privately? Are there any favorite things that you like to ask, or you just say, hey, how's it going?
Mine's pretty organic. I mean,
do you have a dog? I really like to find out, are they a Republican or a Democrat?
No, you did not go there.
Sorry. No, totally kidding.
How about who is your ideal client?
Yes, that's a good question. That's a good question. Where else are you networking?
Yes.
Do you know so-and-so? Or yeah. do you know someone, you know, who...
True.
Who can do this for me, or do you know someone in this field, or do you know any realtors, or do you know any hypnotherapists?
Yeah. I tend to ask where they're from. I just love learning, you know, about. I mean, we have so many people here, right, or from some other place.
Yep.
Yes.
So that's just a great curiosity.
And it's a great way. So especially when you're feeling maybe not as much rapport with an individual as you would like. It happens all the time. You know, I said, where are you from? And they're like, oh, I'm from Ohio. And you're like, you're from Ohio? Well, mm-hmm. I'm from Ohio. Where are the odds that we could meet, you know? And mm-hmm. it really makes things very cozy and mm-hmm. comfortable right away. So those kinds of questions, not how, we don't need the whole life story. We don't mm-hmm. need to know exactly how you got here and all of that, mm-hmm. but... Yes, those kinds of questions can be very bonding.
I am from Ohio, so yeah. One of the questions that I ask, and it's not one that I can go into early in the conversation, but if it's somebody that I'm having a good connection with and we're talking about a lot of things, one of the things that's been very helpful for me is, what keeps you up at night? And a lot of times they'll, you know... Besides the dog, yeah.
Good comeback. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Good.
But
comeback.
I mean, but a lot of times that's the question that people typically don't ask. Now, again, that's not like a first date question, but I mean, that's, you know, as the relationship continues, that's when it's been effective for me.
Did you just say first date?
Well, no, I mean, I did, because networking is, there's
a relationship.
There's a lot of similarities between networking and dating, okay? So, and it's just like, you know.
Speed dating.
There are, yeah, exactly, you know, so.
Building relationships.
Yeah.
It does feel like we're married sometimes. I get that.
Oh, you went way past dating now.
I know, I did. But sometimes it just feels like we've got that kind of a commitment. And now we're going to take a short break and hear from some of our members who are sponsoring this program. We'll be right back.
In the heart of historic downtown Duluth, Gwen Taj Wine Bar is more than just a wine bar. They create a place where all are welcome to gather, celebrate, and learn about wine. No matter what the calendar says, they believe that every day is a celebration, so bubbles are always on the menu. At Gwen Taj, there's just one requirement: must love wine. With a friendly, knowledgeable staff and a menu of fresh, seasonal small plates, Gwen Taj Wine Bar is the ideal space to unwind and savor a well-chosen glass of wine.
Everyone deserves a safe space to rest their heads and raise a family. Yet with job layoffs, mounting medical bills, or the death of a spouse, home insecurity can happen to anyone. Sadly, the numbers are rising. Since 1991, one organization has sought to change that. Rainbow Village brings help, hope, housing, and healing to families experiencing homelessness, guiding families to stability and self-sufficiency. The nonprofit relies on your support. Please donate or volunteer at rainbowvillage.org.
It's easier to maintain your health than it is to repair it. Profound Wellness in Duluth can help with both. Their medically trained professionals use massage therapy to assist you with reducing stress, enhancing your health, maintenance, and recovery. Their intention is to provide a therapeutic massage for your individual needs, as well as support you as you make changes to increase your health, happiness, and well-being. Call Profound Wellness at 470-323-7665 to heal, recover, and rejuvenate.
Searching for a mortgage company that goes above and beyond for its customers? Look no further than Home Access Mortgage. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, trust Home Access Mortgage to provide personalized solutions with a commitment to excellence. For more information, call Sharice Excel at 404-256-0555.
Information available through NMLS Consumer Access SM is derived from NMLS, the Financial Services Industry's online registration and licensing database. NMLS was created by the Conference of State Bank Supervisors and American Association of Residential Mortgage Regulators and is owned and operated by the State Regulatory Registry, LLC, a wholly owned subsidiary of CSBS. For more information, visit the NMLS Resource Center or the NMLS Federal Registry Resource Center websites. Home Access Mortgage, NMLS number 149980.
Welcome back to Duluth Business Now, the official podcast of the Duluth Business Association. I'm Lisa Thompson, 2024 president of the Duluth Business Association, and we're talking about what it means to build relationships within your network and what makes that so important. Our guests today are Benjamin King from Pet Once Johns Creek, Ken Thompson from Thompson Hypnotherapy, John Withers from How Money Works, and Katrina Luchisano from Silverton Mortgage. Benjamin, I'm going to start with you. We've been talking about how to have better conversations and how to further these relationships with people that we meet that we want to get to know better in business. You have a little different business than the rest of us because you actually have a brick and mortar, but you didn't start with that brick and mortar until recently. You were just doing markets and you'd go on the weekends and during the evenings and sell your products and build your client base. So you built certain relationships while you were doing that. What motivated you to get a brick and mortar, and how did those relationships advance as a result of that?
You know, even before I started this journey, my end goal was to open up a brick and mortar. What I decided to do was, you know, starting out was mobile and do events. And with those events is that's my go-to for networking because they're in the environment. And so they're single-minded when they come in that tent. We have a setup to where we have all our products out. And so once they come in there, I already know we're talking about pets.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a no-brainer. So it's straightforward for me. And as I continued to do that, what I end up doing was instilling trust into the customer. And so building that relationship, not that I'm trying to sell them something, but trying to be a resource. And from that, each week, each month, they would come in and ask more and more. And then from there, the interest just grew. And so that just gave me momentum to now start going towards a brick and mortar.
And what's special about your brick and mortar that you really like? They're just walking in, aren't they, Benjamin? They're just walking
in. Yes, they are. It's home base.
So where are you located?
Located off of Old Alabama in Johns Creek.
And why did you want to be there?
The neighborhood. I really want to be within, nested into a community. I mean, there are tons of shopping centers around in this area, but for me, what I wanted was a location where it was walkable. And so that, you know, not just my current customers that would come to the store, but I had, you know, new customers walking by, walking in and showing interest in the products that we had. And then from there, the conversation just grows.
Excellent. So that's a different style a little bit, but you're still building relationships, and they're not all becoming customers day one.
Correct.
Right, but you're developing trust.
Yes. Yes.
So Katrina, when you first came to Atlanta, it's amazing because I can't imagine coming to a city where I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. How did you meet people for your business? How'd you do that when you didn't know anybody?
Well, I went to real estate offices, and of course they didn't want to talk to me. And so I thought, well, if I have a buyer for you, then you'll want to talk to me. So I went to a few offices and asked three different agents. And also I had a closing attorney. So I literally would do four nights a week of home buying seminars. And fast forward 32 years, here I am. Last year, I did a Gwinnett Young Professionals first-time buying seminar. And yesterday, a girl called me, and she goes, I went to your seminar last year. And she knows all these other mortgage people, and she remembered me. And then I was chosen. And then she, at the end of the conversation, asked for a real estate agent. And it just happens to be that I had an agent go through a very, very, very difficult time recently, and this would have just absolutely lifted them up to have somebody like that to work with. And so that's also, to me, necessary in our networking, is that we have a lot of tools in our toolbox. I know that Michelle and I work together. Sometimes there might be somebody, though, who you just, you know that person needs to have this business just to get from point A to point B.
Yes.
So to make that connection and call them, she was just so grateful, my agent. And then last night to see them texting back and forth to each other, it's just a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I think that just to continue to, like Benjamin said, add value, use our education, right, and our expertise. We're all great at what we do, but a lot of times people don't know what we do. So
That's right.
We have to constantly be out there willing to take that time. Might not be today, but here it is a year later, and I have somebody call me who remembered that.
A lot of times, and I think it's true in your industry as in mine, a lot of times people think they know what you do.
Yes.
And may not necessarily be accurate. And based on what they think, it's easy to categorize you, put you in a certain area. And it isn't until they get to know you and find out more about you, they realize that, well, there's more to this than I realized, or I was wrong about that. Now, we all admit we're never wrong, but sometimes mm-hmm. we're a little short on being right sometimes. But but still, I think it's those kind of things that are going to make a difference. And again, that's how relationships, that's a result of a relationship, and also how relationships get furthered.
Mm-hmm. One of the things with my business, there's a lot of misunderstanding or misconceptions mm-hmm. about what people think.
Hypnotherapy, right?
Oh, yeah. Hypnotherapy, sure. So when I talk with them about it and they start to understand more about it in the one-to-ones or with meeting, they begin to realize how normal and natural it is and how much it could other people can benefit. And the interesting thing about it is you never know what you say that's going to trigger a thought mm-hmm. in their mind. And that thought might be services needed, or it might be a referral to someone else. I know someone that I'd like to introduce you to because you can help them and they could help you. And so that's where referrals all start, and with that thought in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Back to my chamber meeting. So, you're at these big events. There's lots of people talking. We just get ready to where we're going to sit for lunch. And a couple of younger folks, and to not overlook somebody who might be younger. And, it's like, oh, where do you live? I live here. Oh, that's cool. Oh, are you renting? Oh, and then I was like, well, wait a minute. How many of you might be at your company that are younger? So I approached them on doing a lunch and learn. And I used to do that back in the day too. And they are just so excited. It's like, we have 10 people who have never owned a home, and we just are wanting to have, this information. So I'm thinking it's not going to be that difficult to go to Chick-fil-A or whatever and bring, some tenders for everyone and have 30 minutes or 45 minutes of undivided attention, Q&A, and they'll remember me when they're ready to buy a house.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, that's similar to something that I'm definitely planning on doing at the store, is similar to a lunch and learn.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do tastings.
Oh.
So they get, you can come in and your pet can taste different products. So.
I love that.
But as soon as you said tastings, I said, wait, this guy does dog food.
I was thinking
it's human grade.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So that's the test, right? We all need to come sample some of the dog food, and then we'll realize that, we are totally feeding our pets the wrong thing because we can eat this, right?
That's right.
Is there a doggy wine?
Yes, there is. And beer.
So there's other ways to connect other than just at a networking meeting. So, for instance, how did you all come to the DBA in terms of wanting to be in a part of our organization or working with other members in any organization that may be nonprofits? How do you kind of navigate that?
One of the things that my wife and I are both veterans. My wife, Karen, works with me in what I do. And so it's only natural for us to, when we got down to Atlanta, to seek out, some other veterans and veterans groups and whatnot. And in discussing a little bit about what we do, it turns out there's a natural fit both for people that need service, but also for the people that are looking to serve other veterans. They are also potential, I don't want to say the word target, it's a military term, but potential for people that might want to be interested in talking about more about what we do and benefiting not only from themselves, but also introducing us to other organizations as well. And especially if there's any kind of an affinity group that you have an access to, because affinity groups have a tendency to become very, very close with each other. The veterans group is very tight-knit. And again, because, you know, Karen and I were there, we can, you know, we can walk the walk, talk the talk kind of thing. And it makes us, it doesn't, we're not an outsider coming in. We're some way that says, you know, I've gone what you've gone through. I know what you know. And I've got your back. And then to veterans especially, that makes a big difference.
And that was really easy because as John was talking, I'm just mentally noting that military groups or veteran groups are it's a very specific group of folk. Mm-hmm. And so I'm already thinking, you know, we already have another member who has got a veteran-owned business, and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. these two need to at least talk because they're doing the same thing for the same folks. Right. They're in the same network.
But what was interesting about that is in that process, Karen met a woman who is also a veteran but is also very involved in Habitat for Humanity. And again, you have two different types of people in those organizations. You have the people that are receiving the services of the organization, and you have the very, very involved people that are giving the services of that organization. And knowing that you can relate to both of them, you know, makes a big difference as far as how you can build further opportunities for yourself. But again, it all comes back down to being genuine and being there because you want to be there, not being there because you want to try to sell them something.
So when you're in a networking group, whether it's the Duluth Business Association, the Chamber, Closed Networking, Rotary, how important is it for you to be connecting with the other members within that group?
It's vital as far as building relationships and continuing. What a lot of people may not realize is when you connect with someone and you become familiar with them and actually work your way into their trust and they trust you and you trust them, you're actually opening up a whole new world because you're opening up their networking, all of their network connections mm-hmm. to you, and you're opening yours up to them. So you're widening the span of influence that you have, and all of that is done through connecting with them and continuing to volunteer for charitable events, for blood drives, things like that, getting in there and participating. They can see you in action outside of the work environment. And that builds your credibility as well and the connections.
Does anybody else have another story or another anecdote about that? I mean, sometimes I hear people, they're like at a big meeting, but they don't really know anybody at the meeting. I mean, they've been going because they're hooking up outside the meeting. And that seems to be like, why are you investing yourself in this meeting if you're not going to be invested?
Yeah, I know for me, you know, starting out in networking things, it was just, you know, a deer in headlights, like, oh my gosh, you know,
I was so scared.
Are they going to like me? You know, now you just, if you do it so much and so often, right, it's like any sport. If you just repetition and then all of a sudden you're a breeze at it and then you walk into a room and you're the one bringing that energy and that light to the room so that you can see the deer in headlights folks, grab them, connect them with other people. And then it's just, yeah, like for me, like with DBA, it's been great because the Fall Festival, we got to volunteer for that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Ken, to be able to do stuff outside of work like that, we got to go karaoke. Like, I didn't know that I could sing, you know? Mm-hmm. Granted, there were five other people singing.
Or play the tambourine.
Yeah, yeah. But that's really the cool thing about it is that it's not just about, I always say really right, I want to know how many people will come to my funeral. That's where I'm at in my life. I don't mean to be morbid, but that's really it, right? Like, the more people that you know that you can help, then they're going to remember you. Mm. And we're only here for a short time, so we have to make the most of it.
That's one of the, it's kind of a double-edged sword in a way. When I go to DBA, there are people that I know better than I know other people. There are people that I socialize with, and it's only natural to gravitate to the people that you know and that you enjoy talking with, especially if the only time you see them is when you're right there.
True.
Exactly.
But the important part of networking is spending time meeting new people.
Right.
One of the things that I had to learn is I had to learn to control my extroverted personality.
Because you two are laughing. Why is that?
It's because when somebody who isn't an extrovert or is even just as an average, you know, type or even more introverted, I mean, that's basically, I was, in my enthusiasm, I was actually driving people away. And I found one of the techniques that Amit, my wife, taught me this, is to look for that one person that's kind of standing around there looking, feeling out of place, and nobody's ever talking to me. And then just walk up and just kind of make a funny one-liner or something like that to get started. And then it usually leads into a conversation and they can relax a little bit. But then I have to keep my tone down and not get too excited and just, you know, kind of reflect when I'm getting back, type of thing. So otherwise I'll just be off the wall all the time, and not everybody wants that.
You're too funny, John. Thank you. So how important is it to be consistent in attending meetings, in doing follow-ups? Anybody ever had scheduled a meeting with folks and then they just like, oh, I
MIA,
can't. Either MIA or they just, you know, sent you a text message at the last moment, I'm not going to make it. What do you think and feel or feel when you get those from people?
No credibility.
Right.
Credibility is lost.
Because what's the message?
It's hard to get it back.
The message is, you know, the message is you're not important.
Yes, you're right.
Right? Whoever it was you canceled the meeting on, you're saying you're not important enough.
Or I might have been for my credit card to buy lunch. You know, that was it.
Right. So you know, whatever we're doing to stay in touch with people, we need to be there consistently.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We need to be at meetings consistently. And so many times you start up a new group and then it's just too much. But the goal needs to be there. You can't get the goodies if you're not present. You can't get the opportunities if you're not present.
Yeah. I mean, you have to see it as your own personal business toolbox. Because there's so many resources at these meetings, right? And so you go and you meet, you introduce yourself, you build that relationship, and then you never know when you're going to need that that service.
Exactly.
And you think about it, how long are networking events? Typically an hour and a half, 2 hours tops, maybe once a month. Okay, others are weekly, but that's not a lot of time out of your 40-hour work week.
Correct.
So to schedule that in, you know, I used to think, that's a waste of time. But that isn't. I mean, you are now putting yourself out there in front of 20, 30, 60, however many people.
Exactly.
So you never know, who's going
to
need.
You're getting to build that credibility.
Yep.
I think a lot of it, too, has to go back to what are your personal goals for attending this particular meeting. And I'm talking about a networking meeting now. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would I go? I mean, I go to DBA because it's a monthly thing. We've had it all blocked off here because it's going to happen every time. But why do I want to go to this meeting? And for me, you know, once I became very clear on that, in my case, I go to a networking meeting. My goal is to have two or three good conversations. As you know, and I say good conversation is one that'll last 5 or 10 minutes where I'm actually talking with someone that wants to tell me a little bit more outside of just how's the weather, or somebody that wants to engage with me as opposed to just tell me what they do. And once I got clear on that, that helps me prioritize. There's another military word. Helps me prioritize what meetings to go to and what meetings, you know, to avoid. If I'm not having a whole lot of success in meeting someone that really wants to, people want to engage with me, I may not give that meeting as much of a priority as I give others, because while each meeting in itself doesn't take a little bit of time, we do only have a finite amount of time, and we can only spend so much time, you know, networking. We still have other things to do with our business and these things called life and all those kind of things. So
I also hear you saying that we need to be cognizant of what other people are taking from our actions. Like if I cancel an appointment, or if I don't show up, or if I'm not at that meeting every week or every month, I'm sending a message even though I didn't say anything, right?
Well, Lisa, that goes also, right? There's multiple events all the time, and it is difficult, right? When you feel like I've got to go to everything and to have to pick and choose. So, you know, I've had to step back from a couple of things that, you know, I hate because they were good friends of mine, but I just can't either drive that far, or I know that this is going to be in conflict with this other one that is closer, or, you know, it's people who I don't see at the other events. So to try to just say no to a lot of, you know, good friends possibly.
But I hear you also saying it's better to do the groups you choose well.
That's right.
And consistently.
Then spread yourself too thin.
Than to just try to get it all in and put everybody through the mill. I mean, have you ever sat with somebody who feels, and you've just felt like they really don't have time for you?
Yes.
Because they're just you know, they're looking at their clock and there's...
Well, they got their timer on, so it's like, oop. Time is up.
Yeah, or they're just going through the motions, you know, trying to get all these meetings in or trying to squeeze it all in, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a lot of the new I guess just the new training though, right? The new sales training, because you'll see that, right? Where they'll literally have, okay, I have these 30 minutes blocked out for you. And it is, you know, I understand that you have a schedule, but, you know, I kind of miss the old days of letting it flow. You
yeah,
know,
when I mean, it, how, when can, you're how can it be organic conversing? And spontaneous right. yeah. if you're just trying to push it the square peg through the yeah. round hole?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind also, all of us here at this table are of a, well, the guys look like we're of a certain vintage. The ladies don't look that way, but we're at a certain point. We know what life was like before dealing with a smartphone. and we have to be cognizant of how, you know, those that have had a smartphone in their hands pretty much their whole life, they communicate and they network differently than what we do. And so therefore, it is incumbent on us as professionals to be able to communicate with them in a way that they will respond to,
yes.
as opposed to as a way that we want them to respond mm-hmm. to us. And I've had, it was a difficult transition for me because my wife and I don't have children. So it's not like we learned this or we see this when raising our own kids or anything like that. So one of the things I'm doing now, as a matter of fact, is I'm attending a class out at Gwinnett College and just listening to the 19 and 20 year olds and how they interact with each other.
You can come to my house, John.
Or not. Yeah.
Or you can come by the store.
Yeah.
I'll
give you a tuition bill. No, you know, no, the no, car accident.
No, I have no babysitter qualifications whatsoever, so forget that. But I mean, but the whole point is it's just recognizing that not everybody networks the same way, and there are some generational differences that we have to be aware of.
So I also hear you saying that we're networking both ways. We're networking with people who are just starting out to look mm-hmm. like they need our help. And we're also networking with people to raise the bar and take our level of client to a mm-hmm. higher level. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's a bigger yes. way of saying it.
Because sometimes I feel like there are those business owners that don't, you know, they're past that. You know, they only want to go up the chain.
Yep.
But it's kind of like how we live in the world. We're designed with hands on both sides so mm-hmm. that we can go up and down. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to remember, that because you just never know what somebody who is down chain from you mm-hmm. is going to offer you, an opportunity, a referral. You just don't know until you sit and talk with them.
Or a different perspective.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think a key component there is balance.
Yeah.
You know, as far as who yeah. we're networking with or what we're doing, any part of our lives is based mm-hmm. on balance. You know, younger, older, all of that combines together, and going up, staying down. It's a matter of reaching that balance of in the middle, mm-hmm. going to the meetings or not going to the meetings. There's mm-hmm. a balance in between yeah. where mm-hmm. it's most effective for you.
Right.
Don't become a burnout. Mm-hmm. You need to make choices, yeah. but I think the point is you need to be consistent about yeah. the choices you make.
To go along with that is when you're at a networking meeting, be present.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's,
on your phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again,
watching a game.
Things happen in life. Yeah, things happen in life. You know, and I get that. But it's if you're there, be of a mindset that you're there to be there for that reason.
Mm-hmm. To engage.
And sometimes you have to compartmentalize the stuff that's maybe pressing on you from the outside. You know, it's kind of like. One of the things that I was taught early on is that there are urgent things and there are important things, but there's a very, very, very few amount of urgent, important things. Right. And sometimes we respond to the urgent and let the important go by the wayside. And that's why when we're in a networking meeting, we have to focus on the important and not necessarily the urgent.
And as the hypnotherapist would say, take time to reflect. You got to breathe. Mm-hmm. You actually have to sit and reflect to come up with these answers that are going to be the best for you.
Is that what you call it, a mirrored personality then?
I refuse to answer that under the grounds it may incriminate me.
I just thought about the reflection part. So.
Let's take one final break and hear from a few more of our members who are sponsoring this program.
Morsels by Melissa can cater any event that you are planning. They cater weddings, corporate events, private parties. They offer plated dinners and even cooking classes for team building, or maybe just some fun with friends. Morsels by Melissa offers family meals for each month. You can enjoy them fresh or freeze them for later. Whatever the occasion, Morsels by Melissa is sure to provide scrumptious morsels for your friends, family, and colleagues. Contact Melissa Gunderson at morselsbymelissa.com.
Are you ready to elevate your style and self-care? We have you covered at Lily's Boutique, your go-to destination for sophisticated women's apparel, trendy accessories, gifts for every occasion, and luxurious natural skincare. Our soaps and candles are made in-house with all natural ingredients and essential oils. With two locations, downtown Sugar Hill and historic downtown Duluth, indulge in the ultimate shopping experience or visit lilies80.com. That's LILLIES80.com.
Embark on a patriotic journey with Knickknack Group, a veteran-owned and operated business committed to honoring our heroes and preserving their legacy through gifts. Every product tells a story of honor, resilience, valor, and sacrifice of those who have served. Explore our collection at knickknackgroup.com, where we honor our brave first responders, servicemen and women, preserving the legacy of those who have served one item at a time. That's knickknackgroup.com.
Hi, it's Michelle Parrish with Crosspoint Realty. We are your full-service real estate experts for residential and commercial properties in Georgia. Buying or selling? We're here to help. From entry-level homes to luxury estates, our realtors have the knowledge, expertise, and network to make it happen. CrosspointRealty.com. That's Crosspoint with an E, Realty.com. Or give us a call at 404-452-5881.
Once again, welcome back. Moving forward, can y'all give us an example of how you've continued to build relationships with the DBA members outside of the monthly meeting, and or what advice or message would you like to leave with our listeners today?
One of the things that I have found is don't be afraid to network with people you see as your competitors. For example, every networking group has somebody in the finance industry. I am convinced that closed networking groups were started by people in the finance industry to keep other finance people out of their group. I mean, that just seems to be that's always the case. But one of the things that you can do is you find out that as good as you are, there may be, you know, some symbiotic relationships that you can develop with someone that says, you know, hey, look, this person's got some specific expertise that may be to your benefit. Or on the other hand, you may find out that, okay, I see how this person is presenting themselves, so I want to make sure that if that doesn't resonate with me, that I don't come across looking the same way.
Right.
To give you an example, I think most of us, if not all of us here at the table, have received those postcards in the mail about, you know, hey, come down to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse on Thursday, September 29th, and you'll get a free steak dinner and you'll listen to a retirement seminar, you know. Or it's kind of like when you go on a cruise ship, you know, hey, come on down and get the...
The timeshare.
Get the timeshare.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. But you know there's going to be a huge sales pitch at the end of that. I mean, you know that going in.
Don't do it.
And sometimes it's like, okay, well, the free steak dinner is worth it, but I know what's going to happen. And so one of the things that we as a group made a decision early on is that when we do meetings like we do, there is no sales pitch. Everything is education and everything is free. There's no charge for anything as far as that. And people can come in. If they get something out of it and they go somewhere else, that's fine. If they get somebody else, get something out of it, and they go back to their own financial person and work with them, that's fine. I mean, we believe in putting out the knowledge and the education in the world, with the idea being that if somebody's looking for a trusted resource, you know, hey, these people seem to be exactly who they are. And that's, again, we had to do that because there's been a lot of, in the finance industry, there's a lot of shady dealings and shady pasts, and you have to overcome a lot of negative stereotypes. And that's one of the things that we've done to do that. And it's worked for us. I mean, I could give you examples, but I don't want to dominate the conversation like I typically do.
It's all good. It's all good. You did well, John. Thank you. So I also hear you saying that it's about figuring out how we want to present ourselves at all times. And so we're always learning, right? Mm-hmm. We're always following the threads. Yep. We're always learning. We're either learning what we want to be like or what we don't want to be like. And mm-hmm. that's the game, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. what it's all about. How important is it? Do we always need to be getting paid for what we do? How important is goodwill in your business?
For me, I have a longtime client, and she came to me, and after a divorce, living or renting for 4 years, wanted to buy a house. So I got her all approved, and then she had her own agent. Well, it turns out it's an agent who goes to DBA. And
awesome.
Then I was able to have the three of us. I impressed them. We went to 1818 Club for lunch. And now I'm on that agent's preferred list. So she has a team. And last week I'm getting text from one of the team members saying, hey, I've got these two people that are going to call you. And, you know, right away, yep, you know, I'm on it. And then I have, two other agents who we already had clicked back in the day, and you know, we've been working together. I have another agent who could care less. It's just very difficult to break through that ceiling. But at the end of the day, yes, just for me, the DBA has been wonderful, because my sweet spot, obviously, are real estate agents. And if I'm not there, then they don't know if they can trust me. But because right. I'm there, and I've taken the time, yes, to get to know them better, I am going to be the one that they will, even for any questions, you know, just reach out to me and ask me just different questions. They know that I'll give them the answer without charging or without looking for something from them.
A part of my therapy with my clients is a big part of it is education. And it's not just therapy, but education. And so I do a complimentary consultation. And during that consultation, I'll share a lot of valuable information with them. What I see is valuable information that may help them in their position with that they're coming to talk with me about. And so I put that out there on the table for them, and if they can take that and use it and walk away and change their lives, that's what it's there for.
That's great.
So
that's
a big part of that. It's also important for us to continue meeting with DBA members for another reason, and that is because we don't know what's changed in their lives. Mm-hmm. What's developed in their lives, what situations have come up. So the more we stay in touch with them, the more we're aware of things that they may be needing now that they didn't need last time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as far as reasons to continue building that relationship outside of the DBA is so that you can be aware of that. I'm always looking for someone to help or refer someone to outside of the DBA that could help one of the DBA members. And that's one of the things I focus on.
You're the recruiting champion in the neighborhood at the moment. Yes. Ken is always
recruiting
for you.
That's how I got it.
For you.
Pretty sure.
That's great.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, my number one goal is to be a resource, right? Whether someone comes to me and their dog has an ailment, they have questions, I'm free with information. I even give them product.
I was going to say, you get to pass out free samples.
Yep. I give them product, you know.
Do you demonstrate? Do you take a little bit
at times. Yep, at times. But, you know, you give that sample to them, give that information to them, and they do what they want with it. Because I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just here to be a resource. And next thing you know, a week later, a month later, they're coming back.
Mm-hmm. So Benjamin's brought his doggy charcuterie to our meetings as a door prize. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that most people had never seen a doggy charcuterie board until Benjamin brought one. So it's like it was an instant like connection, right? Yeah, he's the guy that brings the doggy charcuterie.
Take
right?
That to so a new level.
You know, anything that you can do like that makes a huge difference.
Right.
So it was instant, like everybody in the room just connected with Benjamin, even if you didn't have a dog. I mean, it was just so cool. Yeah. Right?
And they still do.
Yeah. Well, Benjamin, you were amazing when I had my dog, you know, my Great Dane, and I told you what I fed him and, you know, how he was acting, and you were like, he's really done well.
Right.
So that was just comforting because, you know, you wonder, like, I just got this food. Is this right? And so I appreciate that you were able to give me advice and help me out. Thank you.
And John, how did you feel when you were asked to be on Katrina's podcast?
I was honored because Katrina can choose pretty much. You have your own podcast. You choose who you want.
That's
but
right.
But also, also the fact that she would trust me with her relationships with her listeners, you know, to bring somebody like me in, because, you know, again, there's an implied endorsement there. The people that know her are saying, you know, okay, this guy must have something that's important to hear, and he must be a trusted resource if she's going to bring that on. So that's a tremendous responsibility. And just to be even considered, much less asked, was a big difference, and I consider that a great honor. So
thank you. It was great to have you.
Excellent. So I think what we're saying all around this networking is a business in itself, and you're really kind of creating your own, for lack of a better word, your own business family. It's more than just a business relationship. In some ways, needs to be as personal or even more personal than your social life, because it's so much, it's so vital to your success.
Mm-hmm.
And those trusted relationships are what we build our business on. And if we don't have those, we're not going to move forward. So that's my takeaway for today. Does anybody else have anything to add?
The bottom line is you just don't know what's going to happen in somebody's life, or you just don't know when somebody's going to need something that you do or someone that you know. So as long as you're open, genuine and available, then you might be that one that one person. My dad used to, my parents were pretty religious, and my mother would always say, said one of her goals in life is that at some point in time, she might be the answer to somebody's prayer. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to make sure that she
I love that.
Yeah, she wanted to make sure she was ready for that.
Right. I want to be open, and I want to be there when it's time for me to do my job. I want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to be present. That's excellent. I love that. In closing, the DBA meets the second Tuesday of each month in a different location, just to keep it interesting. If you are interested in attending one of our meetings, please email us at duluthbusiness@gmail.com or visit our website at duluthbusiness.org. Thanks to all of you who showed up today and are present, and thank you for volunteering your time. And remember, all of our panelists, including Mike, our producer, are members of the DBA. This is an entirely member-sponsored program. We encourage you to reach out to our panelists. They're all listed in our online directory on the website if you have additional questions, or better yet, visit with us at our next meeting. This has been Duluth Business Now, the official podcast of the Duluth Business Association. Again, we want to thank our members who are sponsoring this series: Crosspoint Realty, Knick Knack Products Group, Profound Wellness, Lily's Boutique, Rainbow Village, Home Access Mortgage, Gwentage Wine Bar, and Morsels Catering. And finally, a special thank you to our producer, Mike Salmon, for inspiring us with the idea of doing our own podcast. You are the best, and it's been a great year in 2024. Until next time, I'm Lisa Thompson, and this has been Duluth Business Now.